We have been sitting here waxing poetically about Mike Smith, and he just happens to show up on the set here. Mike, happy to have you on board, my friend. Always nice to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
You must have heard us. You took your helmet off.
I had to get on one, the two-year-old I ride in the juvenile for Baffert. I just had a breeze here a half a mile. First time I've been on her, I was impressed.
Yeah, very impressed. That's good to know coming in.
I'm telling you. I mean, she worked beautiful. I know it was just a half a mile, and the good ones are supposed to work that way, but I mean, she really worked nice.
How about that, Mike? We'll get to the main horses here in just a moment. We were talking about, you know, Mike Smith. You know, he's accomplished so much in his career, and of course, we'll elaborate on that in a little bit here. But you still have to come out and get on horses in the morning, right? You're a Hall of Fame jockey. You've won over 5,300 races, but there's always that next songbird around the corner, isn't there?
Yeah, this ain't work, though, coming out and getting on these kind. Man, this is, you enjoy it, as you well know. I mean, you rode for many years. I mean, it's fun getting on these kind, man. That was a treat. That made my morning getting on her.
We were just talking about the fact that yesterday in the press conference after the post draw, you were asked about what it's like at this point in your career to be able to get aboard these type of horses and compete in these types of races, and you made the comment that, well, these horses certainly keep me going a lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, we talk about, you know, reflecting back. I don't try to look back. I got so much going forward right now, and I'm so happy to, you know, have the opportunities that I've got. You know, we got to admit it, you know, at this stage in my career, I mean, and I'm not the only one. I mean, look at Gary Stevens and a few of us that are still going pretty strong, you know, at this stage. It's pretty cool, man. It's pretty neat. Luckily for myself, I took care of myself pretty good at a young age, and I'm physically in really good shape. You know, I have my little cricks here and there, but other than that, man, I'm really
join
good.
The club.
And
look at those guns. Look at the guns on him.
just doing well, you know, and getting the chance to ride the kind of horses I'm riding, man. I mean, this is a rider's dream. As Jeff, you know, I mean, man, we all dream of, you know, I used to sit back and get the opportunity to watch, you know, McCarron and Pat Day and all these guys just ride the good ones. And although Pat liked to ride a lot, you know, he liked to ride every race all the time. I'm not keen on every race, but, you know,
I think I would have followed your path.
3-4, yeah, you know, a day and get the chance. You know, I don't ride a whole lot, but, man, I wouldn't trade places with anybody.
You know, Jeff just made the comment before you came over that it appears, anyways, from watching you ride now, that you're having fun each and every time you go onto the track with a horse. Are you having as much fun now as you've ever had at any point in your career?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt, man. I've learned to, you know, as you get older, you learn to appreciate things. I think when you're young, you know, you're just out there trying to win everything there is to win, and you're ever just living on the edge. And, you know, now, man, I mean, I truly appreciate a good horse and what it takes to get one and to get one there, you know, all the preparation. And you just learn to appreciate things more. And you know, and you never stop learning in this, I don't think in any sport really or anything in life, period, but especially racing, man. Each horse is an individual. They're all different, and you can never conquer the game. So it's just, it keeps you interested all the time, you know.
Mike, we talked earlier, Jude and I, on the earlier show, about how it's so unique in horse racing that the human athletes share a locker room, which is unlike any other sport, right? The competing teams go to different locker rooms, and so it's, you know, you have a lot of friends in the jockey's room, and some guys you're close to, some guys you aren't, and you have a weekend with such importance associated with Breeders' Cup races. Describe to us a little bit, what's the experience like in the jockey's room in terms of leading up to some of those races? Is there a lot of conversation? Is there discussion about strategy? Are you holding everything close to the vest? And, you know, how much of that goes on? How much of that discussion goes on?
I think there's a little of all of it, you know, Jeff, but in saying all that too, we're a big family, believe it or not. You know, until someone crosses over on you or something like that. But we really are, you know, and it's kind of great to see everybody, see the guys, you know, from other countries, you know, from come in, and we just kind of get a chance to visit and talk. And, you know, and to be honest with you, at this point in the horses' careers, everyone pretty much knows who they are and what they are. I don't think there's any big surprises. I mean, you might see a little something that might jump out at you, that might, you'd be shocked. Well, I never seen that out of that horse, or I wonder why they did that. But at this point, man, they're pretty much straightforward, and we all kind of know who they are and what their style is and what their tactics are. And other than maybe some of the two-year-olds that you know, that you might see a little something different happen with. But But with the older horses, I think we all pretty much know who they are, and we all respect each other, and you know, and you're great friends, and you all hug and shake hands when you're in there. Then you walk out, and man,
put on the boxing gloves.
Yeah, it's time to play, and you learn to kind of. Although there's times where it gets a little heated when you get back in there, but I mean, all in all, we get along pretty good.
So you mentioned, Mike, when you first sat down that you've got the mount for trainer Bob Baffert and the juvenile fillies on American Gal. So here you've got a 2-year-old filly who's made only 2 prior starts. This will be the first time that you ride her. She drew to the far outside, post position 12. How much did you learn just this morning in the brief time that you were on this filly? What were you able to learn, and how will that pay off for you in that particular race?
Honestly, with her this morning, I actually got gained a lot of confidence. I actually think I have a shot going in now where I didn't really know her much. I didn't know if she was just a speed filly and if she could really get the distance. And it's hard to tell just going a half a mile. But, gosh, she was so classy.
She's
so
on the
monitor. There you are right there, Mike.
I mean, so rateable. Look at her. We put a horse out 2 in front of her, and she just set off him. She just waited for me to ask her when to. And the good thing about her is she's naturally quick, although she didn't draw very well being way out there. She should, you know, hopefully she jumps well, and she should put herself in a really good spot, if not on the lead. And she turns off nice. I mean, she would have waited for me if we went around there again. And I barely just bowed over on her about just past the 8th point. She picked it up just really, really nice and galloped out and came back great. A lot of energy.
Guy looks okay on that horse.
Yeah, I think that Smith guy is going to do okay in this sport.
As long as you stay standing up like that.
Let's talk about a couple of the horses you're going to be aboard that are going to have a bit more experience than what we see with American Gal, who, again, being shown on the video monitors now with that work earlier this morning here at Santa Anita. And that's, of course, Songbird in the Distaff and then Arrowgate coming up in the classic, Travers winner Arrowgate. I love the fact that you rode Arrowgate's sire, Unbridled Song, to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile back in 1995. Look back on that day for a minute. How special was that?
Oh, that was a great, great, great race. He actually stumbled leaving the gate. Might have been a blessing in disguise, really, after it all turned out, because, man, there was a lot more speed than I actually thought I'd be in front on the lead by myself, actually, that day. And he stumbled, and I was, after looking back out, I was glad he did, because they went really, really quick. And, I mean, I'd have been in a you know, head-and-head battle with about 4 others. It was about 4 or 5, and it was the first time I got him to relax so good after he did that. He was just off the bridle, just set right in behind him, and I was able to cut the corner and get through in between split horses heading for home. And that wasn't no bad horse on the outside of him. Hennessy was on the outside of him. So if you go back and look at some of the names in that juvenile, there was some pretty nice horses in that race.
So how about to be aboard his son now, Arrowgate, trying to knock off California Chrome and everybody else in that classic? It's so rare to have that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, when you're young, you used to hear the old guys, well, you know, I used to ride her mother, or I used to ride her father and all that, and now I'm one of those guys.
It's okay if you're riding Arrowgate.
Yeah, especially when you're riding, I got to ride a son of Holy Bull and win the Kentucky Derby with him, so wouldn't it be cool to ride a son of Unbridled Song and win the Classic? That'd be pretty neat.
How about that?
That'd be something that you'd put the son and the father up on your wall, you know, somewhere. That'd be pretty cool to do.
That is unique. Well, you mentioned that, and all the good horses you've ridden. I mean, do you oftentimes, just when you're by yourself, sit back and reflect on Azari, Zenyatta, Ms. Direction? I mean, all the collection of incredible horse that you've been on and some of the races that you've won. It's got to be gratifying to just to take a look back at that career and imagine those horses. I mean, so many good ones.
You just sitting here talking, you know, now is when I really look back on it, when people really bring it up. And it'll happen through conversation, you know, sitting at a restaurant or having lunch somewhere, somebody bring up
somebody's favorite horse.
Yeah, someone's favorite horse or whatever. It's pretty cool to look back on. And if I didn't ride him, I probably was in the race, you know, maybe. So it's all great. I really don't sit around, though, and think about all of them, you know. Just blessed that I got to ride them. I think there'll be a time, a day, where I'll be that guy at the bar. So, man, we got to hear this story. Every one of them. He's going to start with the first one. And he's gonna go. I can't wait to be that guy.
Back to Arrowgate.
But it's going to still a few more years away.
Back to Arrowgate and that win in the Traverse for just a minute. You know, I remember when you won with Holy Bull, and I was sitting in Section X of the grandstand at Saratoga, watched you flash by. Concern was making the run at him. Then this year we were hosting the coverage of the Traverse Stakes, and I sat close to the finish line and watched you draw off with Arrowgate. How impressive was that win in the Traverse Stakes?
Well, I mean, it's the fastest mile and a quarter ever, you know, at Saratoga, which in itself, I don't know how many other mile and quarters they run besides the Traverse there. Hard to say, so maybe, you know, most of the time it's probably just, you know, three-year-olds that are running the mile and a quarter there, so it's not like, you know, I don't think Secretariat ran a mile and a quarter there at Saratoga, a few of the, you know, all-time greats, but still, I mean, you look back at some of the horses that have won the Traverse, and for him to have been the fastest Traverse with more in the tank.
That's the crazy thing, right?
Yeah, that's the thing that's crazy is you know, I asked him heading for home, and he literally took off. Like, that don't happen going a mile and a quarter. I mean, usually you just maintain what you have, or you make get a little bit out of them. You know, you just try and maintain that and just keep what they got going forward and not mess that part up. Like, he literally took off. And I looked over in the big Teletron, and I was like, holy mackerel, what am I doing? I got to slow down. I was very shocked that he had opened up that much on him. And then galloping out, the outrider went to pick me up, and he took off again. That's when I knew he had any more energy left. You know, I mean, he literally took off. I had to tell him, no, I'll get him stopped, you know. So where he gets that stamina from, to me, is the most impressive part about him. I mean, there's a lot of fast horses out there, but he's fast with a lot of stamina, which is really incredible, you know.
One of the things that's remarkable about Arrogate is he's had five prior career starts. And we sat down.
Four.
Looked through the.
Right? That was his fourth race, wasn't it?
Might have been. It was either,
this will be his fifth.
It was okay, which goes to the point even further. This will actually be his sixth. This will be his sixth start.
Where did I miss the one at? I missed one somewhere.
But Mike, what?
Who's counting? When you keep winning the Travers.
There's
like
a big
that.
One coming up.
When we look, when we look back at the Breeders' Cup Classic, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to find a horse who's ever won that race with that few prior starts. I think maybe Curlin had something like eight. Byron, eight or nine starts. Don't know if anybody's ever come into this race with five or fewer prior starts and won this race. Anybody who's out there saying, ooh, as talented as he is, boy, that's a big task. What can you tell us to reassure folks who might be skeptical on that front?
I'm just like him.
Fair enough.
I was going into the Travers. I thought, man, you know, I mean, I know they like him a lot. I'm in the one hole. Man, he's only run four times. I got it right this time. And, you know, thinking, man, it's a mile and a quarter, first time running a stake. Geez, and all these
kind of horses.
Yeah, I had to ship, you know. Never been anywhere. I mean, and then he did what he did. You know, once in a decade, man, one will come along like that that just beats all the odds and is just better than all the things that aren't supposed to be I mean, you know, he's supposed to, you know, be a more seasoned horse. But in saying that, too, you know, the way Bob trains, man, he gets these things so ready, man. This horse, he's fit. He's ready. These are mini drills in the morning. They're mini races. I mean, he's practicing with pads on, man. I mean, they practice with pads on. They play, you know. So it ain't like he's just coming in, you know, just lightly trained or, you know, lightly raced. Even though he is lightly raced, I mean, he's you've seen his works. I mean, they gallop out. He's throwing some numbers up there, man.
Speaking of his work, I mean, we watched him here yesterday, and he looks like poetry in motion. The efficiency of his stride, it's almost as if he's just, his feet barely come off the ground, and he's floating. I mean, he's...
The good ones do that.
Right? He just looks so fluid.
Him and Massatistics, they've been making this racetrack look lightning fast, and it's not.
Yeah, talk about Songbird for a minute. We haven't touched on her yet. Going in the distaff, breaking from the inside, different scenario.
I don't think you'd mind it. Would you tell you wouldn't mind it going a mile and eighth here?
Not at all.
With her speed, I mean, you know, good Lord's willing, she jumps well like she's been doing, and if given the opportunity, she just let her do what she does. And you know, she's never been one that I've worried about going too fast with or too. I mean, it's kind of better for her. She likes to get in that high cruising speed. I'm never looking to get away with something like, oh, I got to get away with a 24. Or a, you know, she runs fast and she keeps running. Again, there's another horse talking about their mechanics. Just no waste it. It's like their just feet don't come up off the ground. It just it's so smooth, so easy. Their backing gets up way up underneath them, and there's just always push. You never feel like you get long. if you understand what I'm trying to say, is sometimes like a weenie dog, you know, they get long on you when you start to ask them that they can't get their back end up underneath them quick enough to push, so they kind of get long on you and you feel like you gotta help them. And you know, these kind of horses, man, they get up underneath you so quick. I think that's the difference, is the mechanics, you know. Seems like
the nice thing about her too is even if somebody decides to blast off from the outside of you, she's fine sitting right off the page.
Yeah, she's done it. Yeah. I mean, especially her last race, I think she showed that she would relax really well. She was actually, I could have took her even further back, but I mean, off of paper and knowing all the other ones, I mean, if the race runs, I mean, you know, she's gonna run fast. They're not worried about me getting away with something. I mean, they respect her. They know she's gonna run quick, and she's going to. I ain't going to slow her down going in that first turn. I know that.
Talking with Hall of Famer Mike Smith.
Let her do her thing, you know.
Here on the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by Jimmy John's. Mike, just about 30 seconds or so left. My last question to you. Have you ever had to get fully to the bottom of Songbird yet?
You know, I've asked her at different places. You know, 5/16th pole to the quarter pole. Maybe the quarter pole to the 3/16th pole. That's been about it, honestly. And the last eighth of a mile, I haven't had to really ask her. So will she have another gear? Will she maintain? She's maintained, you know, what she's been able to, the gap that she's been able to put in between them. As far as the three-year-olds go, will she be able to do that with older horses? I mean, we don't know. But it feels like there's something there. It feels like when I have, you know, tapped her or asked her a little bit, man, I mean, she's underneath me like now. So I would have to believe that there is there and there is more there. And she's ready for this, you know.
Well, Mikey, you're a class act, and I mentioned all the success you've had. We've talked about it a lot throughout the program here this morning. Always a gentleman, always willing to come on the air with us. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, nice being on. I appreciate it.
Best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good
thank
luck.
You, thank you.
Safe travels, too. Safe trip. All right, Mike Smith here on Breeders' Cup Countdown. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back with more. We're live from Santa Anita. This